From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. The astronauts who landed on the moon are calling for a program to send people to Mars. In one of their few joint public appearances, the crew of the Apollo 11 got together last night at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington for an event commemorating their trip to the moon. It was 40 years ago today that Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the moon. The second man on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, said the best way to honor the Apollo 11 crew would be to aim for Mars.
From the Wright brothers and Kitty Hawk to Tranquility Base was 66 years. From Tranquility Base, 66 years in the future, takes us to 2035. I believe we deserve to do a little bit more than footprints on the moon.
The Apollo 11 astronauts will visit the White House today to meet with President Obama. A new survey of business economists finds that while there are some faint signs of economic improvement, there is also little reason to expect an economic rebound in the near term. The survey of just over 100 economists finds that companies continue to cut jobs in the second quarter and to reduce their capital spending. NPR's Jack Spear reports.
The survey by the National Association for Business Economics, which garnered just over 100 responses from members, found that only a small number of companies, just 6%, added workers in the second quarter. That's the lowest level in the 30-year history of the survey. 36% say their firms cut jobs in the 3 months ending in June. In terms of projected spending plans, just 8% said their companies increased capital spending over the past quarter. More than half cited tight credit restrictions as a problem for their firms. Still looking ahead, economists say they expect things to level off over the next 6 to 12 months. The vast majority said they expect their company's sales will rise next year. Jack Spear, NPR News, Washington.
A NATO fighter jet crashed inside the largest military base in southern Afghanistan this morning, the second aircraft to go down there in 24 hours. NPR's Saraya Zahardi-Nelson has more from Kabul.
Military officials say the Tornado fighter jet crashed as it was taking off from Kandahar airfield at 7:20 a.m. The two-member crew managed to eject and was being treated at the base hospital. Officials did not identify which coalition country the jet belonged to, although Tornadoes are often flown by the British. NATO officials could not say why the plane went down, but they say the Taliban had nothing to do with it. The crash happened the day after a Russian-owned Mi-8 helicopter crashed at the airfield, killing 16 civilians on board. The incidents follow a string of deadly crashes elsewhere around the country in recent days. Saraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.
Japanese financial markets were closed today. Oil prices rose in Asian trading. Benchmark crude for August delivery was up by 83 cents to $64.39 a barrel. This is NPR News. Golfers Stewart Cink beat fellow American Tom Watson in a four-hole playoff yesterday to win the British Open in Turnberry, Scotland. The 59-year-old Watson came up just short in his dramatic quest to become the oldest player to win a major title. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
It was one of those sports moments of exquisite tension. Late yesterday, Tom Watson lined up an 8-foot putt on the last hole of the British Open. If he made it, he'd win, and all the could-he-do-it questions of the previous 3 days would be answered with a resounding yes. In this era of Tiger Woods' infallibility, golf fans expect that putt to go in. But Tom Watson was fallible, graciously so, because after he babied the putt and it came up short, there were no curses, no thrown clubs. But nearly 60 years old and emotionally spent, Watson lost the ensuing playoff with Stewart Cink by 6 strokes.
It would have been a hell of a story. It wasn't to be. It tears at your gut, as it always has torn at my gut.
It was Cink's first major title, but probably will be remembered more as almost Watson's ninth. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
The New York Times is reporting today that CIT Group Incorporated's board has approved the deal with major bondholders to keep the company out of bankruptcy with a $3 billion rescue plan. The newspaper is reporting that the emergency financing is intended to give the ailing company time to restructure some of the billions of dollars in debt payment coming due this year. New York-based CIT has been negotiating with key bondholders in an attempt to avoid a bankruptcy filing. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.